Okay, welcome to the Certification Podcast, Episode 3. I am Ruby Martin, Bureau Director of Certification Services. Joining me today, Chris Luce, Bureau of Certification Division Chief. Chris and I, along with our behind-the-scenes support folks from the PA Key, or Colin, Kelsey, and the legendary Mary Hall, are really enjoying bringing this conversational podcast to the early learning and childcare providers and stakeholders. We would love to hear from you also about topics you would like to discuss. Please use our RA account, which will be posted with this episode, to send us your feedback. It is our pleasure to connect with you in this way, so let's keep this going. Our topic today for discussion is around the clarification of CPSL guidelines. Child Protective Service Law, aka CPSL, guides our statewide decision-making around protecting children. Specifically today, we will be discussing clearances and background checks for child care providers. Chris, I think this might be one of the most important protections we support for programs serving young children. What do you think?
Yeah, it really is. The CPSL sets the framework not only for the recording and issuance of all the clearances for childcare, but it also established the requirements for reporting child abuse and protecting the children of the Commonwealth.
I was reviewing the CPSL this morning. It is very legal and it speaks very legally. And I know it guides our work protecting children. Mandated reporting, background checks, definition of child abuse, et cetera, is all covered in this law. Do we know when the CPSL was created? Is there a historical context that may help people to understand this big why the CPSL?
Sure. You know, I really don't know much of the CPSL prior to 2015 when a lot of the changes started happening, but I believe the CPSL was established in 1975. Up until 2015, I'm not sure of all of the changes that occurred, but 2015 was when we saw one of the first major changes that affected childcare. That's when we had a requirement for mandated reporter training. Clearances began to expire. That set the requirement for clearances to expire every 60 months. And staff who previously did not need all of their clearances had to have them by the end of that year. So then in 2019, the requirement was introduced for staff who lived or lives in a state other than PA, the need for the out-of-state clearances, as well as volunteers now needed clearances. Also in 2019, we informed providers the provisional hire requirement changed from 90 to 45 days. I believe that was also around the time the NSOAR was required. And all that leads us up to the newest released announcement, which is pretty much what we're talking about today, which is announcement 2501, which is meant to provide clarity of the CPSL and combine all of these changes into one updated document for providers to use as reference.
That's super helpful. I remember all the history that you're discussing. I was a provider during, so I was on the receiving end of all of the, you know, changes and situations as they occurred. And I have mad empathy for the providers trying to manage all of this. So let's discuss the sections of the announcement. C-2501 that recently came to providers in Pennsylvania. This announcement is about clarity. I believe we needed to be certain we are following and enforcing the Child Protective Service Law. So licensing will be enforcing the provisional hire requirements of the CPSL for employees hired on or after 2/1/25. So that's February 1st, 2025. And to make this as clear as possible for childcare provider community and any stakeholders who need this info, let's take it by situation if we can. So let's start with new applicant childcare programs. These are new programs that have never existed before. What, before opening their doors, do they need from the CPSL law requirements?
So as it pertains to the CPSL and clearances, that provider, before opening, and they would need an application, they would need all of their clearances. That includes a Pennsylvania State Police criminal history background check, an FBI criminal history background check, a child abuse clearance, an NSOAR, a signed disclosure statement for employment in a child care facility. And if they live out, if they lived outside of the state of Pennsylvania, they would need clearances from those states they've lived in within the last 5 years. If they currently live outside of Pennsylvania and are working in a child care in Pennsylvania, they would need the clearances from that state as well. And in that instance, those clearances need renewed every 5 years. Also at application, all of these clearances, they cannot be older than 5 years.
Great. That really helps. How about home care providers or a group in a home? What clearances are necessary for them to get started?
So the clearances required for you to open a facility at application for the actual operator are the same, regardless of provider type. Whether you're a center, family or group provider in a home or group provider commercial building, if you want to open a child care facility in Pennsylvania, you need all of the clearances that are within 5 years old, and out-of-state clearances if that applies to you. If you're a, if you're opening a facility in your home, household members also need those clearances. Household members need all of those same clearances within the last 5 years. They don't need to sign a disclosure statement. And one thing that I did not mention, for the provider opening, when you're opening, you also need mandated reporter training.
Right.
That's within the last 5 years. That's a 3-hour course.
Right.
The household members do not need their mandated reporter training.
Okay, so when hiring a new staff member in a childcare program, there is a provisional hiring requirement. Can you explain that to our listeners, please?
Sure. So a provisional hire means that that staff person doesn't have all of their clearances at the time that they start employing, working in a childcare facility. So an individual can be employed on a provisional basis if they meet certain requirements. Those requirements are they need a signed disclosure statement for employment in a child care facility, and they need to have the results of their child abuse clearance, their NSOAR, their out-of-state clearances, if applicable, and in the result of either their FBI criminal history or state police criminal history. All of those clearances and disclosure statements need to be no older than 60 months at the time that they start employment, and those physical documents need to be in file. The only clearance that can be not on file but applied for at the time of provisional hire is either the FBI criminal history clearance or the state police. And for it to be a valid provisional hire, the application for that clearance that you're missing has to be on file. And then they can only be provisionally hired for a period of 45 days. And during that time, they have to be supervised by a staff person that's able, that meets all the qualifications and can care for children unsupervised.
Okay, so if I'm a child care program director and a new staff member comes to me and they have all of their clearances within the last, say, 4 months, but we can use those. When do they expire? What's the situation there?
Sure. All of those clearances, if all of the clearances, required clearances were obtained within the last 4 months, those would be valid. They have clearances expire at 60 months. So as does your mandated reporter training. So to start their employment, if they have all of those clearances within 60 months, they could start employment. They would need to sign a disclosure statement for childcare employment. And then within 90 days, they would have to obtain their mandated reporter training if they do not have it at that time.
Right. Okay. So I think one of the biggest issues that we hear from providers is about out-of-state clearances and the requirements around out-of-state clearances. So if somebody lives outside of Pennsylvania within the last, 5 years, say they were in Texas till 3 years ago. Walk me through what we need to do to get their out-of-state clearances.
So if you've lived out of state within the last 5 years, or you currently live out of state, There are links within the announcement for you to access contacts and find how to get the clearances you need for each of those states.
Cool. And I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Well, research that information. If there's any questions, you can contact your cert rep. It's there, you know, there's 50 states and there's how many territories? At least two or three. So that's a lot of information for our staff to know how to access all those clearances. But there are some that we have some experience with. So if you have questions, you can call your cert rep at the regional office. And if they don't have them, they typically will contact our headquarters office, and we have contacts within children and youth that sometimes we'll reach out to. There are situations where you as the applicant have to apply for the clearances. There are situations that the employer has to apply for the clearances. And there are situations where the Commonwealth has to apply for those clearances for you. As those situations come up, or as you find that, especially if the Commonwealth has to make that request for you, that's where you should contact your cert rep, and they will then contact us, and we'll put that request in with the Children Youth Agency.
I think a lot of people are concerned with the amount of response time for out-of-state clearances, or what about the states that aren't responding or don't respond or don't participate? What happens? I mean, what happens to a provider? They've waited, 45 days, 90 days, and they still don't have that out-of-state clearance. What do we do?
Well, so unfortunately, you can't start working in a child care facility without that out-of-state clearance. And if you're waiting for it and you haven't received anything, we recommend you to contact that state directly. Sometimes they'll let you know if you're missing something, if they didn't receive it. They may let you know that you applied in error and it has to come through, through DHS has to request it. But if there's any situations where you're waiting longer periods of time, we do ask that you let your certification rep know so that that information can be passed on to us, and we can attempt to work with the other agencies to come up with a plan.
That's great. And that's the case for all background checks, right, Chris? If there were, say you're waiting for an NSOAR and it's been more than 2 weeks or 3 weeks and you're really getting nervous, you can send that information to your cert rep. How does that work?
Yeah, so if you're waiting for even any of the Pennsylvania clearances and they're taking longer than you anticipated, if you contact your cert rep and let them know, your cert rep will ask you for some identifying information for that clearance that you're waiting on. And what they do is we have a form that they maintain communication with us at headquarters office. We check that form weekly, and we send that information over to the Childline Verification Unit, where they look into those clearances for us and give us information on if there was something needed, if it was issued, things of that. They won't send us the clearance, but right, we can at least know that they received. We can let you know that they received it and they issued it. So then then you can have that conversation with your staff.
Great. And I've seen that work very quickly. So I'm glad we have that avenue. Also wanted to just let everyone know that the disclosure statements are also updated with this announcement, correct? Is there info about the disclosures and where people can find them that we can share today?
Yeah, all the disclosure statements have been updated. They're on Keep Kids Safe website. And there is a disclosure statement for child care employment, and there's a disclosure statement for volunteers. Your staff, if you have a volunteer, they should be signing the disclosure statement for child care volunteers. And if you have a child care staff that you're hiring after February 1st, they should be citing the one that is labeled disclosure statement for child care staff.
Can you clarify, because I know sometimes this stuff is very confusing and there's a lot of missing, changing information and missing pieces for people. What do volunteers need? Is there anything specific that we can help providers understand this?
Sure. In the announcement, there's a section for volunteer clearances. And the volunteers need all of the clearances that a staff person needs. They need the FBI, they need the state police, they need the child abuse, the NSOAR, they need mandated reporter training, and they need a signed disclosure statement. Volunteers cannot work provisionally. They have to have all of those clearances and meet all those requirements before they work with, before they or work with your children in the facility. And you need to make sure that they have the signed volunteer disclosure statement.
So what about if you have regularly attending outside people coming into your program? Say you're contracted with a program that does soccer with your kids, or you have a therapy worker coming in for speech therapy. What do we need to know about background checks for these people? Are they necessary? What's required?
Sure. So you can ask for their background checks. You're not required to have their background checks on file. It's the requirement of their employer to have the background checks on file for them. So you don't necessarily have to ask. You don't have to ask for them. But if you want to, you can ask for them and you can maintain them on file. But it's not a requirement for us to see that. It's a requirement for them through the CPSL to have them, but it's their employer's requirement to have those clearances.
Great. Great to know. So I know we don't need background checks on family members, even though they're in and out of our early learning programs and communities every single day, dropping kids off, picking kids up. What if a family member wants to come for lunch or is doing a special project with kids or is reading a story to children, say once a month? Does that person need to have updated background checks on file?
So it depends on the situation. You know, if it's that once a month, if they're coming regularly, like once a month to read a story, that would be routine interaction with the kids, and they would need to have clearances on file. You know,
sense.
If you're having like, I know programs have like donuts with dads or something like that around Father's Day, you don't need clearances for that because it's that, that's one-off situation. They're mostly having interaction with their child, not the facility children. So under those types of situations, they want it. But definitely if, you know, you have a parent that's coming in monthly to read to the children or something like that, they would need it. So, sure, clearances, some of the costs for some of the clearances are waived for volunteers. The child abuse and state police clearance for volunteers are available to them at no cost. They can be requested once every 57 months for that purpose. Now, keep in mind, if you have a volunteer that eventually you want to hire as a staff person, those volunteer clearances are not applicable to childcare. So they will have to get clearances for employment.
Okay. Can you run through the mandated reporter requirements, since it's important to make sure that we know that this is a huge part of the CPSL, and it's always a good reminder to just make sure that people remember?
Sure. Your volunteers and your staff persons, they're required to take mandated reporter training. Mandated reporter training for volunteers has to be on file and within 60 months prior to them starting as a volunteer. Staff persons have 90 days to obtain their mandated reporter training. Now keep in mind, they cannot care for children alone and unsupervised without having that mandated reporter training. Mandated reporter training has to be a minimum of 3 hours long, taken every 60 months prior to expiration. So it has to be renewed. You have to renew it before your previous one expires. And you need to make sure that it is for childcare. In the announcement, we went through the current list. It's on Keep Kids Safe website. and took many of the target audience and enlisted them, those that we would accept for child care. Now, if there are others that you think may be acceptable and it's not on that list, we would recommend you call your CERT rep to have a discussion with them before you take up your valuable time to take a training that may not be counted.
Super great information. Thank you. So Chris and I did discuss the kind of dryness of this topic. You know, the CPSL is, it's not bells and whistles, but we know how important it is. So we wanted to clarify this information for all of the providers and our stakeholders that are out there doing this work every day and all of our partners. So in closing, of course, I want to wish you all a wonderful 2025. And we're getting started strong here at Okdel and really want everybody to stay connected with us to do this work. So any topics that you want us to discuss, questions that you have for us, we're going to publish our email address on the website where these episodes will be found so that you can easily access that. We'll get that to you and have a wonderful, wonderful 2025. We'll see you next month.